Welcome to Positive Impact with Andrew Schultz.
Are you struggling with stress and anxiety? Are you numbing out with drugs, alcohol, pornography, food, or Netflix? Are you lacking direction and purpose? Do you feel like you're just surviving and going through the motions? If you answered yes to any of these questions, trust me, I understand. I can relate. I've been there. And we're all meant to thrive, not just survive. My name is Andrew Schultz, and as a transformational life coach, I specialize in behavior change. My life purpose is to be present and connected, to empower, support, serve, and inspire so that others know they're not alone. And I've helped hundreds of clients from all walks of life create maximum success, significance, and fulfillment. If you want to take the first step in your positive impact transformation journey, click on the link in the show notes to schedule a free 30-minute connection call today. Because you're worth it and you deserve it. Hey friends, welcome back to Positive Impact. Last week's episode, I broke down the five top ways to improve intimacy. And this week, we're going to break down in more detail one of the five ways, relationship check-ins. It's one of the top five ways to improve intimacy. And who better to help me break it down, this topic, than my girlfriend of 18 months, Melissa Blinn.
Hi.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good, sweetheart. How are you? We haven't done this in a long time.
I know. It's been a minute. Mm-hmm. The most emotionally intelligent person I've ever met.
I receive.
And who helps me, supports me to become a better person, a better man, a better boyfriend, and a better intimate partner.
I receive.
So one of the things that Melissa and I have been doing, just like I shared in last week's episode, is to improve our intimacy, one of the top five ways is the relationship check-in. So Melissa, for the audience, from your perspective, because I got to share my perspective last week, from your perspective, share with the audience what a relationship check-in is, please.
Well, I think before I share what it is, I think there needs to be some context of what struggles we were having. And being really open and honest about that, with why we decided to make this a foundation of our relationship. So I think one of the things that's important for the audience to know is that Andrew and I have now lived together for going on, 4 months now?
Yep, 4 months.
And so both him and I haven't lived with a significant other for an extended period of time. Me, 15 years. Andrew, what was it? 10 years for you living with a woman? So I think the most important thing to understand first and foremost is that when we first moved in together, a lot of chaos, a lot of fighting, a lot of old wounding was coming up for me And I also believe you as well. And we were really struggling. And quite frankly, there was multiple times that I think we both were ready to just throw in the towel and we were just checked out. And one of the things I think that most relationships struggle with is the inability to allow their partner to witness them in a safe container and creating a safe space to share what they want and what they need on a consistent basis. So for so many people, I think communication is probably one of the biggest challenges that most relationships deal with. And for you and I, we knew how to communicate and we communicated quite well when we didn't live together. But I think little things that were happening in our day-to-day where we were with each other 24/7, they were bringing up aspects of our family of origin and our childhood. And we struggled with that. And so one of the things that I know I was committed to doing, and I know you are also committed to doing, was having an outside third party, non-biased therapist, a respected therapist that I have known for years, and you have known her now for a while, really having her work with me individually and also with you individually, but then having us getting on a three-way line to really have a safe container to have these hard conversations. So I think it's important to lay the context to the audience of truth that these relationship check-ins were not our norm. This was not something that we did all the time in the last 18 months of our relationship. These actually relationship check-ins have literally been the foundation probably the last 2.5 months since we've lived up here. And it's been a game changer for multiple things. I think a game changer, I'll get to of how it's been a game changer, but the context of a relationship check-in, there's no right, wrong way to do it. But the foundation of it is creating a non-violent environment to where both people are present and both people are at a zero in their nervous system. So I think it's important to really also articulate that relationship check-ins, it's important to do it from a regulated emotional state, because if one partner is coming in and they're not regulated, it's most often they're not going to be able to hear the other person. So it's important to communicate to the audience that you have to be responsible for your emotional side of the street to your best ability. Because if you come in dysregulated, you're again most likely not going to hear what the other person has to say. So, and I say that, you know, through my lens, you know, in the way of if I come into a relationship check-in with Andrew and I have my anger or my rage, which is a familiar emotion for me, I most likely will not hear what Andrew truly has to say to me, because I'll make it all about me. And that's not what relationship check-ins are about. Relationship check-ins about are safe, they're vulnerable, and they're honest. And they start off with making sure that we're highlighting what is working. So that's a lot of context, but the foundation of relationship check-ins are, number one, it's nonviolent. Number two, both partners are regulated in their nervous system. And number three, a date and a time and a location is set to have it consistently. So for Andrew and I, we usually do it on a Sunday night over dinner together. Sometimes we'll do it on a Monday if we forget on a Sunday, but for the most part, it is every single Sunday night at dinner time. So nonviolent environment, both people are regulated, and a date and a time is agreed upon of when we're going to have the relationship check-in.
Taking a step back for a second, the intention of us having this conversation on this topic at this time was because there's lots of demand from you, the audience, you know, wanting me to share more personal experiences of my intimate relationship. And so this is our listening to you, the audience, to make sure we're creating value, because we're all in relationships, whether it's with our significant other, our partner, with our parents, with our children, with our siblings, with our coworkers. Being in relationship is something we universally all have in common. We're always in relationship. So if you're not in an intimate relationship with a partner at this moment, you can still think of relationships that are intimate with friends and family, that you can still apply the same principles that Melissa and I are talking about with the relationship check-in. You can still apply into other relationships that are considered intimate, just not a loving intimate relationship, sexual intimate relationship. So I think it's important that we set that context for everybody. And Melissa and I'm going to have her on more frequently and talking about different topics when it comes to our relationship intimacy, because that's something that's universal, that more people want to learn how to be better partners, better friends, better family members. And so hopefully that helps set some more context for everybody listening. So the relationship check-in, Sunday night, an opportunity for me to safely and honestly and respectfully communicate my feelings. Relationship check-in, I usually go first, and it looks like this. I'll go first, say, hey, babe, what's working in the relationship is, and I'll give an example. What's working well in the relationship is, I'll give another example. And the examples I reference are in, it pertains to the previous week, because we do a relationship check-in every week. So it's reviewing the last 7 days of the events, and it's including topics such as money and sex and community, around the house, professionally, work related. And so anything that comes up in the context of a relationship is the opportunity to talk about what's working well and what's not working well. So I always start out, what's working well is, and I'll cite many different examples, and then I'll cite the example of what's not working well in the relationship is. And it's an opportunity to communicate my feelings. And it's so important, especially for us men, because if we don't communicate our feelings in a safe container with respect and truth and honesty, I know what happens to for me if I don't. It's going to come out later on in an unhealthy way. And even worse, I'll look for things to numb out with, because I don't like the feeling of not communicating and stuffing it down and avoiding it and repressing it. And it will come out in some way that's not in alignment with my highest good. And so us men, it's really important, these check-ins, because it's an opportunity every 7 days or whatever your cadence is to communicate and to share. And it's so important. And so after I share, Melissa will say back to me, after I say I'm complete, she'll say back to me, she'll repeat exactly what she heard me say. Can you example of what you exactly say with your relationship check-in after you hear what I have to say?
Yeah, so the technique that Andrew and I follow, there's two of the techniques that we utilize, and I want to give some context to the audience. We do nonviolent communication, and we also do the Imago process. So the Imago process is all about active listening and repeating back what you hear. Because most often, if a person is saying a whole lot, we can get lost in the context. And when we practice the Imago, which is the active listening, what Andrew's referring to is, so when Andrew is finished with what's working, what's not working, he will say, I am complete. Now, I want to be very crystal clear that sometimes when Andrew states things that are not working, I might have a visceral reaction. Like I may get triggered. It may hurt. It may sting. I may not agree with it. But the commitment is I am to just actively listen and not interrupt him until he says he is complete. So I think that's important for the audience to know is that sometimes when our partners say something that's not working, we may not like it. We may not agree with it. But that also, it does not give us the right to interrupt them and or make them wrong. Because Andrew has a right to his beliefs, his values, his feelings. Those are all his. So therefore, I don't have any right to interrupt him and make him wrong for any of those. So it's important to lay context before I even start. Andrew states, I'm complete. That lets me as the listener know that he's done. So when he says that, I will say, okay, so babe, this is what I hear you saying. I hear you saying that, you know, me and how I'm supporting you in business is working. What I hear you say is working is the use of us having one car. It's working well. What I hear that's working is me celebrating you being out in the community. Like I will actively repeat back to him. Now, granted, I may not repeat every single thing, but I will do my best to make sure that I listen and repeat back. I will also repeat back to him what's not working. So I also hear that, you know, our intimacy, how often maybe we're having sexual intimacy is not working. I will repeat that back as well too. So again, it's important that whether we like it or not, it's irrelevant. It's important to let Andrew know that he is seen and he is heard. And the other thing, once we're done with the repeating back, it's important to state how we can support that person's needs. So once I repeat back to Andrew what's not working, I will then say, I'm going to make a commitment to improve this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a commitment to this. So we let the person know what we are willing to commit to show up differently in the next week. Now, if there's things, again, that we don't agree on, relationship check-in is not to have a bickering fight about what's right, what's wrong, or not. It's really just a safe container to allow our feelings to be seen and to be heard. That's it. That is it. If there's a topic that might be a sensitive topic, like let's say money, then we can agree on making another date and time, which Andrew and I do. We do a money check-in, which is completely separate, to have a deeper conversation around money. And this is a conversation where we could get into deeper on that specific subject if I'm not in agreement.
Just like that. So that's person one. That's person one, the whole process from start to finish, just like Melissa shared. After the process for person number one, me, after that's complete, Melissa goes, starting over, just like I did, and she'll say, Andrew, what's working well in the relationship is, same thing, person two, same process. And it's really that simple. And, you know, it's a game changer. I know Melissa, her coaching clients, my coaching clients, we use this as an instrumental piece in sharing with our respective coaching clients. This is a tool we use with our coaching clients, each of us in our own practices with our coaching clients. And we've seen amazing transformations and breakthroughs with couples who utilize this relationship check-in as a regular, consistent practice that deepens the relationship and the intimacy. That's how important this is. And that's why we're doing this episode for everybody listening. And again, if you don't have an intimate sexual partner, you can use relationship check-ins with friends, with family, with coworkers, boss, bossies. And so it's a great way of working on effective communication, creating strong and healthy boundaries. But I think the most important piece for me, it's an opportunity to communicate our feelings in a safe, honest, respectful way.
And I also want to chime in too, if I may, is a lot of the times, and you could probably speak to this as well, Andrew, with your clients, you know, a lot of the times I'll get, you know, well, my client doesn't want to talk about it, or they don't want to do it. Or every time we go to have a talk like this, we start a fight. I want to be very crystal clear is that if you are attempting to establish a check-in, whether it's through intimacy or through business, number one, if you are communicating and the other person is interruptive, is disrespectful, is raising their tonality, by all means, you have every right to stop the conversation and ask to come back when they're ready to be in a more regulated state. Because I want to be very crystal clear on this. Not everybody is emotionally aware of their physiological sensations when they're being activated. And not only that, they don't know how to get to a regulated state very quickly. And for Andrew and I, this is the work that we do. So we're fortunate enough to know how to, number one, self-regulate, and how I know how to regulate Andrew, and Andrew knows how to regulate me from a co-regulation and intimacy. And this is something that Andrew and I are talking about doing more of and doing in the community of helping couples truly deepen their capacity to be seen and witnessed. And I do wholeheartedly believe that intimacy is the greatest opportunity to heal our relationship with the opposite sex. And heal ancestral trauma. I true wholeheartedly believe that. And I've got to witness this in this container. But I want to be very clear is even though we say this process, and for some of you listening, you may laugh and go, yeah, right. I can't see that happening in my relationship. Or you may be just afraid. Like, I want to be clear. A lot of women that I work with who struggle with a free state in their nervous system or a state of collapse or shame, for them to sit and share how they feel with somebody, it's the most scariest thing for them because they've never done it before. So I really want to be clear that this is a gentle process. This is a process that needs to be respected and cared for, just as if it were to be a newborn child. It's that delicate because damage can be done. And if you are starting to practice this and your partner is not willing to reciprocate it or respect it or take responsibility for their side of the street of how they're showing up, then the hard conversation that you need to start having with yourself is this a safe relationship for me? And it may not be. And I'm saying this because Andrew got to witness for me for multiple weeks, Andrew didn't feel safe with me for multiple weeks when we first moved in. And that's not easy for me to share openly. Like, I think it's important the audience know is like, I was having extreme rage and anger. And what was happening was a lot of unconscious trauma that I had experienced in my family of origin was coming up. And Andrew was just a reflection of those experiences for me to get complete with them. And I'm grateful for that. Because if I wasn't in union with Andrew and I didn't get to experience it, then I would have been walking around with unclosed loops in my nervous system around anger. So I really want to be clear is that you can do damage. And number two, if you're not willing to take accountability for how you're showing up, you will erode a trust in the relationship. You just will. And so I do wholeheartedly believe with me doing my own inner work and my deeper layer work, and then Andrew and I coming together and him doing his work separately, I do heartily believe these relationship check-ins were what saved our relationship. I really, truly do believe that.
I agree. And for people listening, a really simple and effective way to regulate your nervous system before you, when you sit down to start your relationship check-in, before you share any, before you communicate any of your feelings, I think it's really important to take 5 minutes or 3 minutes to focus on the breath. In a simple box breathing, 5 seconds in through the nose, hold the breath at the top, 5 seconds out through the nose, hold the breath at the bottom. Do a couple rounds, a couple minutes of box breathing to get grounded and centered and to regulate your nervous system and your partner's nervous system. Doing it together is a really simple and effective way to make sure both people are grounded and centered and 100% present for the relationship check-in. I think it's really important. And I agree that our relationship check-ins over the last 2 months have absolutely saved the relationship and allowed our relationship to go to a whole new level when it comes to our intimacy.
Yeah. Because I think one of the things that I've got to witness from you is, you know, I've got to witness you in some emotions, you know, like some emotions that you might've been carrying, and, you know, fear or worry or missing your friends in California. And I got to hear that from you, and I got to see you share. And by you sharing that, it brought up, it elicited some emotion and some crying. And for me being able to witness you in that, I think that's very healing for partners. Is I think so often we place these expectations on our partners that our partners have it all figured out. And I know you, Andrew, like you got to see me last weekend have a moment where I just ripped it and I was super emotional. And one, and Andrew said, wow, like I thought you always had it together. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's not how, that is not how relationships are. And I think it's important to let go of the Disney fairy tale of waiting for the knight in shining armor and the beautiful princess, because it doesn't exist. The truth is conflict does happen in union. But what's more important is how can you handle conflict in a healthy way and change the and reframe what conflict is. Conflict has an opportunity for growth. That's how I looked at it with for Andrew. So
well said. So for people listening, relationship check-ins, start wherever you're at.
You got this.
You got this. Your friendships, your coworkers, your boss, your significant other, family members. Ask them to meet you halfway. Schedule a consistent, ongoing, I recommend weekly cadence. It can be 10 minutes. Doesn't have to be a long time. It just really supports an intimacy in the relationship to communicate feelings in an honest, respectful, and loving way, and to practice active listening to hear those we love to share in an honest, respectful, loving way as well. And so if you have any questions, comments, if you want to learn more about what Melissa's doing, I will put her contact information in the show notes. We will have her back. If there's more topics or other topics that you guys want to hear about when it comes to our intimate relationship, you know, please reach out, ask for what you want and need so we can make sure we're creating value on this podcast for everybody listening, because that is our intention.
Can I say one more thing? Because this just popped up. I think also too, for those of you who are listening, it might be good to start with just journaling out what you, how you feel before you have the conversation. Sometimes, at least one of the ways that I started practicing was writing out, you know, fact, feel, need, like what are some facts that were happening? How did it make me feel? And then what do I need? And I think it's important that you may be scared to have conscious conversations, or you might, you know, not be used to having hard conversations without a substance like alcohol or something to numb. Start just practicing writing out your feelings. Doesn't mean that you're going to go have the conversation right away, but at least give yourself permission to just practice writing it out. And that just starts the neural pathways in the brain of you getting comfortable with even articulating I am pissed. I am sad. I am frustrated. So that's my two cents.
Thank you for saying that. I think it's very helpful for people to get started. That first step, a lot of people listening like, okay, great. What's that first step? That's the practical first step for people listening to start with. Pen to paper, journaling. Fact. What was it? Fact.
Act. Feel. Need. This is rooted in nonviolent communication. So you write out the facts that are happening. Like, I'll give an example. And you'll laugh about this one. If I may, can I use this spoon? The peanut butter spoon is an example.
Sure.
Do I get permission? Okay.
Yep.
A fact. Hey, babe. You left a crusty peanut butter spoon on the counter. What's fact? It made me feel frustrated because the house is clean, right? Say my feeling, frustrated. In the future, can you just support me by putting it in the sink? Fact, how it made you feel, what you need to be supported. Fact, feel, need. Slam dunk.
Step one, fact, feel, need. Pen to paper, grab your journal. Set yourself up for success when you do have that relationship check-in with your loved one. And the quality of our life is directly proportional to the quality of to the number of quality relationships and tough conversations we're willing to have. All right, friends. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to Melissa, my beautiful girlfriend, for your contribution. And we will have her back on. Thank you everybody listening for all that you've done, the support. We're in 95 countries. And it's all because you are sharing this episode. You're sharing with your friends and family. You're spreading the love, the ripple effects of you, the listener. Just so grateful. So thank you for everybody for listening. We'll see you again next week. Send everybody lots of love.
Bye, everyone.